Thank you, Brother David. And that's what we want to be doing, is toiling on and doing what God has asked each and every one of us to do. We're so thankful for the presence of everyone. If you have come today as a guest or a visitor among those of us who meet here regularly, we want you to know that we're certainly glad that you're here, and our trust is that you'll want to come back again. We are a Bible-believing church honoring a risen Lord, and our endeavor is to honor Him throughout our lives, serve Him faithfully, and we know with great confidence when we come to the end of life's journey here that we'll have the privilege of living together in that eternal city that we call heaven. For Christ has said, "I've gone to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Tomorrow is Labor Day, and we want to wish every one of you today a happy Labor Day tomorrow. I certainly hope that you'll recognize that it's much more than just another holiday, another day on Monday where you don't have to go into the workplace. But we all ought to be appreciative of our work, and certainly we ought to be laboring for the Master, the one who loves us and taught us the principle of work. You know, when God made Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden, you know, a lot of people today think of work as a curse. It's not really a curse. It's a great blessing when you think of it. And when He made Adam and Eve and He placed them in the garden, He told them to till the garden, to keep the garden. Now, we know because of they sinned, that there were other problems that went right along with it. Grass burrs, Johnson grass, all kinds of things that happened as a result of God cursing the ground. But He actually placed them in the Garden of Gethsemane to work. He has placed us in this world to work. Even God did that. God even worked more than you work. He worked 6 days a week and rested on the seventh. Some people hate to work. Some love to do it and to go to great lengths for some to avoid it. You know, we ought to be thankful that you have a job, a means of supporting your family, and one thing remains constant, and that is work must be done. You know, we always say sometimes that a woman's work is never done, and that's true, but it's also true of a man. When you really look at it realistically, since the Garden of Eden, everyone has worked. Or they have depended upon other people to work for their own survival in life. There are some things that I want to share with you this morning, what I really believe the Bible teaches about work, okay? Number one is the fact that work is ordained by God. It is ordained by God. If you have a job today, then you are fulfilling your role for being placed here upon this earth. And it should be a happy Labor Day. I hope tomorrow that, and we have a lot of people in our congregation at work that don't get to take off on holidays and to be with their family, but they have to work. And so we honor you and we appreciate what you're doing. It was God's intervention, and certainly God created it. The Bible declares that God worked in Genesis chapter 1. By working, now, we always talk about the fact we want to be like Jesus, we want to be kind, we want to be honorable, we want to be loving, we ought to be forgiving, we ought to be peaceful. But did you know, perhaps there is no other way that you look more like God than when you are working and when you are implementing plans and serving God. It's not wrong to work, folks. It's a healthy thing. And, you know, we have a lot of people in this nation that are working. But unfortunately, we have a lot of people that believe that the nation owes them a living. And they have to work and pay their taxes, take care of everybody else. Well, it was reported, remember a couple of weeks ago, that the National Labor Board reported that we had more people working than are. Well, it made the stats look good in the country, and made the folks in Washington look pretty good, I guess. But when you've got over 800,000 people unemployed, that you said were employed tells you a story about what's going on. In the book of Genesis 2 and 15, the Bible says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Adam was not placed in the Garden of Eden to lay back in a lounge chair and slurp on a Slurpee. That was not why he was in the garden. But he was to work. And the Bible says that we're to work by the sweat of our brow. Genesis 1 and 28. "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." And notice this, "subdue it." Work. The earth, "and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living creature and thing that moveth on the face of the earth." You know, we have a lot of people today, maybe that were born with a silver spoon in their mouth, or everything in their life is on a silver platter. Work doesn't come that way. It doesn't. And I'm thankful. You know, there's nothing that makes you more fulfilled when you are doing your job. And when you are working, there's nothing. When you come to the end of the day and you are tired from doing what you ought to be doing, and it gives you a tremendous feeling of confidence in your life and what you do. And the Bible even says in the book of Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, that whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with all of your might. That is, give it your best shot. Do your best. I was telling them in our Bible class this morning, my father a number of years ago used to tell me, "You do what is expected of you and then some." I preached a sermon one time on that, "and then some." And that is so important, isn't it? For us to give more than is expected of us. The church compensates me for work as a minister, and I'm thankful and grateful for the support of this congregation. But at the same time, I always try to give much, much more than what I'm being compensated for. And I mean that sincerely. Rarely do we take vacations. My wife will tell you that. Rarely do we take off. If we do take off, it's to go and hold a gospel meeting somewhere, or it is a revival or things of that nature. But I believe, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I'm not, you know, up here, look at me. I'm just simply telling you, I enjoy doing what I do, and I like to work for the master. And I try to give it my best shot every time. But number two, when I think about work, work is for a lifetime. We talk about retiring at age 65 or 67, whatever your age may be, before you draw Social Security. But work is really a lifetime thing. You know, I see Doug Summerall sitting out there in the vestibule, and there is no one, I think, in this community that works harder than Doug Summerall. And this man is, how old are you, Doug? 85, 86? 86? 86? That's close enough, he said. Yeah. Anyway, a man that is going at it. I mean, he is retired in one sense, but he is giving his best every day. He is. And I'm not just trying to shower him with accolades, but I'm telling you the honest to God truth. I know what that man does. And I appreciate his labor, and we all appreciate him and others that are just like him. "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground." That's what God said in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19. So God intends for human beings to work. I'm not saying it's wrong to retire. But do something else. Don't just sit on your laurels. Don't just sit back and do nothing. There's nothing wrong with people retiring. Don't get me wrong. But do something. Don't become movable. Do what you can do. Meaningful activity plays a critical part in you being a human being. It adds to life. It sustains your life. It does. And, you know, when people just quit and say, "Well, I'm just going to sit in the rocking chair the rest of my life," Listen, it won't be long until you die. You know what? I'm serious in saying this. I have conducted many, many funerals through the years, over 1,500 right here in Palestine in 50 years. And I can tell you, the ones who retired and sit by and have done nothing. You know what? You know who dies first? Person that does that. Is the person who sits by. He never exercises himself in anything but watching TV, sitting idly by. That's just not the way God intended for us to live. There should be a balance between work and life. I know we all have a life. We do have a life. But at the same time, we are to work. We are to labor. And that's what that song was all about a minute ago that I asked David to sing. To the work, to the work. We are servants of God. How many of you remember the sermon that I preached on this subject? A body in motion stays in motion. How many of y'all remember that? Well, I guess I could do it next Sunday again. but anyway, a body in motion. That's an old Celebrex commercial, but it's so true, isn't it? A body in motion stays in motion. You just keep going. You just keep on going, and you will keep on going, and you will keep on going. And that's the way I look at life. I'm not interested in sitting idly by. I'm really not. I want to work for the master until he comes. Then I will rest from my labors in that wonderful place that God calls heaven, Revelation 14 and verse 13. Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren," he said, "be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." But thirdly, when I think of work, I think of the fact that work is not really punishment. Now, sometimes you may feel that way on a Monday morning, okay? You've had the weekend to rest, but just think about it. You don't have to go to work tomorrow. But consider it. Work is not punishment. It is a privilege. And you and I are privileged that we can get up and go to work and that we're not out on the street begging for something to eat, for tiny morsels to sustain our body, but that God has put us in a position. And work is not a punishment. But we have a lot of people that look at it that way. God did not create work as a drudgery. And I've told you many, many times, you're unhappy with your job, get another job. God didn't intend for you to go through life unhappy and losing your joy continually. Find something that will make you joyful in your life. You will find that getting up and going to work will be a whole lot better. You will find it a gift to fulfillment. A human being can do nothing better than find satisfaction in his work. Now, the reason I know that is based upon this next passage I want to share with you. In the book of Ecclesiastes 2, verse 24 and 25. He said, "This too, see, is from the hand of God. For without him you can eat." Who can eat or find enjoyment? Who can find enjoyment? Without him and without working and without doing something in your life. The desires of the lazy will kill them, but their hands refuse to do anything. You know, there are a lot of songs that we sing, I was telling David, in our hymnal about work. And the songwriters really had a handle on it when they captured the idea that we ought to be workers. Work for the night is coming. Remember that old song that we sang? We sing that song to the work. What about, I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to love and pray and trust Him every day in the vineyard of the Lord. But number four, work should be done with excellence. You know, one of the big problems, and I think it is a tremendous problem in our world, in the United States of America, is the fact that many of these people that are working do do less than their best. Again, my father told me, son, you do your best, whatever it is. You give life your best, not your second best. God gave us His best. How could I give less? It should be done with excellence. It's a shame when we send jobs off to other countries and pay less to get less. You know, people used to take pride in America and things that were American made. Remember how Sam Walton used to say, I'll not sell anything that is not made in America? That's not true anymore. It's not true anymore. We ought to take pride in our country, the United States of America. We are the people of God. We're the ones that God has blessed. And we should give God our best, folks. We want God to give His best to us in heaven. And I think about the gift of God's beloved Son, the perfect Lamb of God, John 1 and verse 29. So work. Do your best. And whatever your hand finds to do, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:10, do it with all of your might. I wouldn't want someone working for me that didn't give me their best. Even if I paid them less. I'd rather pay more to someone who's giving their best and not their less. And I'm telling you, that's a principle that's worn out in the Word of God. Paul often talks about the fact that he labored among God's people. We talked about this morning in our Bible class, being servants of God. And by the way, when we stand before God in judgment, we hope Him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Servant. Jesus said, I came not to serve, to be served, but I came to minister and to give my life as a ransom for many. Never be lazy, Romans 12 and verse 11 says. But work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Give it your best. Get out there and go get it. I wouldn't want anybody on a football team that's giving less than their best, would you? Or a baseball team? Any kind of sport. I want someone that's doing their best. Their best. Solomon observed in the book of Proverbs 24 and verse 30, he said, I went by the field of the slacker. Most translations use the word sluggard. He said, I went by the field of the slacker and by the vineyard of the man, notice this, lacking judgment. Because if he had good judgment, he'd be working like everybody else. I'm not saying there are not times when we all need help. Financially, we all need help with food. We have listen, every Monday morning and in the morning, by the way, they will be, our crew here at Crockett Road will be down serving meals to about 80 homeless people. And we do it every Monday. We've been doing it for years. It's not show. It's not for pretense. It's because we have a love for human beings. And a desire to give a little bit more of ourself. I praise God for those people that do that. They understand what Christianity is all about. But a man who lacks judgment is a man who is lazy, who is slothful, who is indolent. And that's just not of God. You are to render service to the Lord and not unto men. The book of Ephesians 6, verse 6 and 7 teaches that. Now, when you are serving or when you are working, this is something we all have to keep in mind. I'm doing this for God. It's not that I'm doing it for my employer. If I have trouble with my employer, I'm doing it for my God. For God's standard of excellence needs to be our standard. And nothing less. Number five, work is honorable. It is honorable. I've seen people work for very little, but they're honorable. I've seen people say, well, I could sit at home and I could draw unemployment. I could draw more unemployment than I could work at the job. Which is more rewarding? The government taking care of you? Or are you taking care of yourself with the help of God? Yes, work is honorable. All professions and all kinds of work, assuming that they're legal and biblical and ethical, all jobs are honorable before God, and we sincerely appreciate the hard work and dedication of all of those in this congregation. There is no dichotomy between sacred and secular work. It's the same. We should be giving our best. For 1 Corinthians 10 and 31, the Bible says, all work brings glory to God and fulfillment to you if it is done to God's glory. Why are you working? To God's glory. Look at verse 33. I do the same thing, Paul says. I try to please everyone in every way. I'm not trying to do what is good for me. I'm trying to do what is good for most people so that they can be saved. By the way, work calls number six for obedience. Why do we work? God said to work. It's like David said about the Lord's Supper. Why do we keep the Lord's Supper? God said, do it. Remember that little cliche thing they used to have on church signs? You may have had it up there one time. It said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, let me tell you something about that. God said it, and that settles it whether you believe it or you don't believe it. If God said it, that settles it. There is no profit in hard work, but mere talk leads to poverty. Listen to that. There is profit in people that are working hard, but there are always people. You know, I know some people, you call them out and they go to work for you and they spend all day talking about how they're going to do it and here's what we're going to do and here's what we're going to do, and they never get around to really getting the job done. There is profit in hard work, but mere talk leads to poverty. And even when the boss isn't looking, a good worker is consistent and diligent in that task that is before him. For you see, the real boss is Jesus, and he's always watching. We should see our work and our job as service to him, not simply to an employer. Employers should treat employees with respect and fairness as well. That's borne out in what Christ said about labor, isn't it? In the book of Colossians 3 and 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, your fleshly boss, not with eye service or as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing or honoring God. The key is not to prioritize what's on your schedule, but to schedule your priorities. And there's a tremendous difference. What is priority with you? Do you do it the other way around? Do you prioritize your schedule? Or do you schedule your priorities? What should come first? Jesus said in Matthew 6 and 33, "To seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Ephesians 2 and 10, Paul says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." For what purpose? He says, "Unto good works, which God prepared before, and that we should walk in them." Boy, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? That's spiritual, but it's true of the physical as well, isn't it? We honor God. So I hope that we'll learn from what I've shared with you today that work is so important. God didn't place you here to rest from your labors. Revelation 14 and verse 13 said, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." There's so many things even retired folk can be doing in the church. Calling people. We get up here and mention about all these people that are sick, and a lot of times people never give them a call. They never send a card. I mean, surely, folks, surely, brethren, can't we do something like that? I know there's some that do. We do from the church. But all of us should show a greater interest in one another. That's what we ought to be doing. Jesus said that we're to work. Work. He said, "I must do the works of Him that sent me, for the night comes when no man can work." I hope this morning, if you're not a Christian, that you would determine when you leave this place today to be a greater worker in the vineyard of God, to do His will. Less of self and more of Him. We are God's masterpiece, and He's watching. He's watching us. And if you're not a Christian this morning, then we appeal to you, based upon the great blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to come to Him, to give your life to Him. We're not asking you to join a church. We're asking you to be a worker in the vineyard. And if you want to labor with us, you're certainly invited to do that. If you're not a Christian and you've never obeyed God's gospel to repent of your sins and be baptized, then God welcomes you to His throne this morning, and the body says, "Come as well." Revelation 22. While we stand and while we sing.